Good morning. Welcome to the Martin Seminars Network. I'm Bob Martin, and today we'll be discussing the positive aspects of performance appraisals with trainer, facilitator, and author Debbie Newman. Debbie is the founder and chief people person for the company Working Relationships. She's been recognized as an expert in workplace relationships, and she leverages individual and organizational client successes by focusing on human assets and organizational systems to help people to work better together. She designs, develops, and delivers instructor-led training and facilitates individual organizational consulting interventions that emphasize ethical leadership and accountable followership. She's been twice published by Josie Bass Pfeiffer and ASTD LA Press. Debbie recently co-authored a series of employee self-help books featuring The Employee Survival Guide to Performance Review, How to Keep the Praise in Your Performance Appraisal. Welcome to the program, Debbie.
Thanks, Bob.
Hey, before we get started, I noticed that you've been a recipient of the Rabun Leadership Award. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What is it?
Well, the local chapter of the American Society for Training and Development, which is the professional organization for human resource development type folks, had as one of its leaders a gentleman by the name of Frank Rabun. And after he passed away, to memorialize him and honor him, they established a leadership award to recognize folks who actually demonstrated exemplary leadership. And I was honored with that award back in 2002.
Was it a nomination process or what?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there was a nomination process and a review process by the then board of directors of ASTD. And I was surprised and selected and quite honored
Wow.
to be recognized. Yeah.
Hey, I noticed that you mentioned ASTD. Can you tell me a little bit about that for those people who are listening that may not be familiar with the organization?
Absolutely. ASTD, or American Society for Training and Development, is an international organization with some 70 or 80,000 members around the world. Its focus is to increase excellence among those who would be consulting internally or externally to help organizations and individuals exceed and excel in their performance.
Wow. Have you had other involvements with them in the past? Or
actually, I served as a board member for the local chapter, the Los Angeles chapter, for many years, culminating in 2001 as president of the chapter. And it is during that year as president that I won the recognition for leadership.
Wow, that was a good payoff for you.
It sure was.
And for those people that may have some interest in that, we'll make sure that they have some contact information later on that we'll be able to provide for them. So tell me about this book that you've written recently. What brought about the need for the book?
Well, I've always been passionate about the performance review process. And I collaborated with a man that I respect in the industry so much by the name of Harry Eagleton. And Harry and I started talking about how busy managers are, how difficult their job is, how full their plates are, and what we might be able to do to contribute. And brainstorming after brainstorming after brainstorming, we came up with this notion that if we were to write some very straightforward, simple, easy to follow employee self-help guides, which we ultimately named the Employee Survival Guide to fill in the blank, we could actually help employees become more self-sufficient and take better care of themselves and perhaps take off some of the pressure on the shoulders of managers to constantly train and protect and support and coach and perhaps give some tools to the employees themselves to help them be a little bit more self-reliant.
Okay, so the training managers that are listening to the program and the HR managers, they don't necessarily need to feel threatened by this. It actually takes them the burden off of their shoulders?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think they can really sit back and feel supported. There are at least two consultants out there, or maybe three even, who recognize that their plates, the manager's plates, and the human resources professionals' plates are awfully full. And that if we share some information and some wisdom with employees, perhaps they can sort of participate and co-create a successful professional future and not be so dependent on managers to spoon-feed them with every little bit of information they need to be successful.
Wow, that sounds like a relief. Hey, you mentioned that you co-wrote this with Harry Eagleton. For those people who aren't familiar with him, can you tell us a little bit about him?
You bet. Harry Eagleton literally wrote the book on effective teams and team building. His book is entitled The Field Book of Team Interventions, and it is the go-to book for most trainers to figure out how to diagnose and intervene with teams to help achieve team excellence.
Wow. Okay. So from this, the employee evaluations that you mentioned, why is it that we sometimes tend to avoid them so much?
Well, you know, there are two groups that avoid them so much. The first group that avoids performance appraisal so much is management and supervision. First of all, management wants to keep their operations running smoothly. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the experience with performance appraisals often causes us to have to stop our operational focus to construct these performance appraisals. And ultimately, we feel very uncomfortable about providing feedback to employees. We're concerned that perhaps our feedback is actually going to backfire on us and demoralize the good workers and have no impact at all on our less than stellar performers. So whether or not they endorse the notion of the formal performance appraisal process, managers just don't see it necessarily as adding particular value to the charter that they have to lead a successful organization. Then the other group of folks that tend to avoid performance appraisals are the employees themselves. Employees, as all people, need to be appreciated and valued, acknowledged for their contributions. They need timely and specific feedback. But all too often, appraisals fail because appraisals are associated with criticism and judgment, and because employees don't know how to deal with this kind of feedback or criticism. Most employees haven't been trained to receive feedback.
Wow. So first you mentioned that managers may be afraid that they might backfire. What are some ways that the appraisal process can backfire on the manager?
Well, first of all, most employees who receive an appraisal are dissatisfied with its rating or with their rating or their quality. An A++++ stellar employee who gets only an A+ rating is going to be a little upset and disappointed and consequently be demotivated and feel unappreciated. And managers are walking a very fine line. They certainly want to provide useful feedback so that they can uplift their organization and their performance. But at the same token, they certainly don't want to demoralize and alienate the people that work with them.
Wow. And so the manager, well, they feel like they can't win no matter how they go, right?
It certainly seems that way. Many of us have been trained on some of the one-minute manager type strategies of packaging criticism between a compliment on one end and a compliment on the other. Unfortunately, too many of us have gotten too smart for that. And so when we hear a compliment, we wait for the other shoe to drop and say, okay, where's the punch coming from? And, you know, managers who are trying to build an environment of trust and respect for their employees often find themselves working at cross purposes with their own workplace environment agenda, if you will, because they're required to do these this performance appraisal ritual that often ends up blowing their relationships with their employees and really doesn't seem to add much value to their efforts.
So the employees have learned from past behaviors, for example, that stick carrot. Whenever they get the carrot, there's going to be a stick pretty soon.
You bet. You bet. We've also ended up overloading the importance of the performance review. We've added on so many things that this performance appraisal is supposed to do for us. Management often uses the performance appraisal to make staffing decisions or to force rank employees or as the basis for compensation determinations or to determine whether or not there will be staff development or to identify who shall stay and who shall leave during corporate downsizings. So they're so emotionally loaded for employees, and they're not particularly useful in that when we do periodic performance reviews, maybe on an annual basis, the information that's contained, most of it is maybe six to eight months outdated or forgotten. It's just a very cumbersome ritual that we've engaged in that neither pleases the managers or the consultants, or excuse me, the managers or the employees. And quite frankly, all of us who are in the customer service industry business know that if you produce a product that dissatisfies 90% of your customers, you ought to find a different product. And in all of my travels, I find that the performance review process is one that beckons dissatisfaction by those who deliver it and those who receive it.
So it sounds like your next guide needs to be the manager's guide.
Well, funny you should mention that. We actually did assemble a manager's survival guide with 23 of the top tips, if you will, for surviving this process. It's not easy. It's not easy.
Do you already have that?
It's in press, just along with the employee survival guide too. So we did come up with a companion book for the managers.
Well, that's kind of you to think of both sides like that, because I don't know about you, but I know that when I facilitate training, typically the people who are in the session are saying, well, my boss should be hearing this. And it sounds like you're providing for that process.
Absolutely. You know, our approach basically is it's about the relationship. And it takes both sides or all sides of the relationship to co-create a successful work environment and a respectful work environment. So we're trying to take care of our managers by providing them with tips, and we're trying to take care of our managers by giving them tools to help their employees succeed as well. So it's a win-win for everyone.
Hey, Debbie, you've given us some great information. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the other things that can be done.
Are you looking for ways to boost your career and get the quality information and training it takes to stand out in today's fast-paced world? At Martin Seminars, we take the goals of motivated people from around the world and provide the professional development tools to make those dreams a reality. Martin Seminars offers programs that are tailored to fit your specific needs. We are committed to your success as a learner and a professional. Martin Seminars programs are structured to take your new skills beyond the training room and into practice. Whether you're interested in time management, communication skills, teamwork, or leadership, or want to create a future for yourself in supervision or management, Martin Seminars has a program designed to launch you into fulfilling your potential. Our programs place an emphasis on business knowledge and are technology enriched to give you an edge in today's marketplace. Martin Seminars is committed to deliver training that is better, faster, and a higher return on your investment with success. Martin Seminars facilitators are carefully selected for their abilities to inspire as well as teach. They come from diverse backgrounds and combine business knowledge with current technical skills to provide examples your people need in today's marketplace. Martin Seminars places a strong emphasis on preparation and follow-up, preparing you for success in your field. From on-site, web, and computer-based workshops to self-instruction tools, books, tapes, and CDs, we are committed to guiding you through the maze of personal and professional development possibilities. If you are already a professional with time commitments that don't allow you to attend traditional training, you can get the information you need in many of Martin Seminars' programs entirely online or at your own pace. Now is the time to fulfill your dreams for the future and get your career on the rewarding track with information from Martin Seminars. Let us give you the tools you need to compete and excel in the ever-changing marketplace. In today's workplace, information is vital to your success. Take a bold step into your future and contact us at www.martinseminars.net. That's www.martinseminars.net today.
You're listening to the Martin Seminars Network. I'm Bob Martin, and today our guest is Debbie Newman from Working Relationships, and we're discussing the Employee Survival Guide to the Performance Review, which she co-authored with Harry Eggleton.
Okay, Debbie, so tell me, about those companies that don't keep these things in mind, what would their environment be like?
Well, you know, the first thing I want to tell you and to remind the listeners is that there's a big difference between providing performance feedback and providing a performance appraisal. They're not necessarily the same thing, although we often confuse the two. An appraisal is done periodically, maybe once a year, or maybe we do it twice a year. Uh-huh. And as a result, the content of that appraisal, the quote-unquote feedback that we deliver in that appraisal, is often not timely any longer. It's generalized. It's been watered down, with the legal advice that we get to make sure that our performance appraisals are carefully written enough to protect the guilty, we make sure that they're really not very useful. Feedback, on the other hand, if it's immediate, if it's specific, and if it's objective, can be very useful. And the example that I would offer is to imagine that you are running a speaker system. Mm-hmm. Very much like the broadcasting system you're using here. If we should end up putting the microphone just a bit too close to the speaker, we're going to get some high-pitched, annoying, but nevertheless very clear feedback. It will be immediate. We will know exactly what happened. And we're going to get that feedback whether we're tall or short or smart or stupid or rich or poor or master or novice. And so the feedback is delivered instantaneously from the speaker system, and it's objective because we all get the same feedback, and it's specific. Unfortunately, with performance review sessions, we sometimes lose, at the very least, the immediacy of the feedback, and therefore it ends up to be not particularly useful. So if we're going to subject management and employees to this ritual of conducting, you know, periodic performance reviews, and if we do them wrong, and if we don't stay mindful to the relationship issues, one of the things that we can do is, well, shoot ourselves in the foot. And that might look like, in your organization, it might look like a decrease in employee morale, increased worker turnover, reduced productivity, I can go on, increased hostility in the workplace, restricted creativity and risk-taking. If we're engaged in a process that feels so punitive or disrespectful, then we're going to become distrustful, maybe dependent, mm-hmm. looking for someone to guide us every step, somewhat demoralized. Doesn't this sound awful? An anxious employee. Our absenteeism is likely to increase with all sorts of stress and depression-related symptoms. There's probably going to be some tardiness and some passive-aggressive kind of behaviors, and worse still, could be litigation if we're experiencing the appraisal as a key part of a hostile work environment.
So essentially, for those people that are listening and they're experiencing some of these symptoms in the workplace, this is an indication that, you know, that there's something below the surface that needs to be dealt with. And like your speaker analogy you used earlier, I like that you have both the employee guide and the manager guide at the same time, because one, you need to cause employees to feel that they're not being singled out unfairly, mm-hmm. that like the speaker analogy, this is just what it is, and it doesn't matter who you are, right. you get the same type right. of feedback. And then for the managers, they need to learn to deliver that feedback in such a way it doesn't set off those employees.
You bet. Well, you know, one of the things that occurred to us as we were putting these booklets together, these survival guides together, is that in the workplace, we often spend an awful lot of time constructing performance appraisal and feedback systems. We've got the who's, the what's, the where's, the how's, the forms, the timing, the content. We work really hard to set up systems, and now we're even automating them. We work very, very diligently to try to prepare our managers as to what should be said and what shouldn't be said. Mm-hmm. But in our experience, we haven't seen any indication that much time is spent on preparing the employee to receive that feedback. Mm. And for many employees, the only experience they really have in receiving feedback is the experience they had when they were going to high school or grammar school or college and got their report card, which was their equivalent of a performance review. And so we respond often in the workplace in the same way that we responded when we got our report cards. Either A, we try to change the grade, or B, we try to hide the report card from anybody who would know or shouldn't know, or we would be afraid would find out, or C, we just shove it in a drawer and ignore it.
Wow. But Debbie, it sounds like you've had some experience with this. Do you have some kind of background that leads you into this type of evaluation?
Yeah, I've put in my time in not only the formal education, but also in the School of Hard Knocks. I have an undergraduate degree in business administration with an emphasis on human resources management, and put in 20 years as a human resources generalist, and watched firsthand, you know, how we construct performance appraisal systems and the impact of those appraisals on the management and employees. Simultaneously with that, I went back to school to get a master's degree in marriage and family therapies and am licensed by the state of California as a relationship expert. Now, we laugh, and often we think of marriage and family therapists as being appropriate for personal or outside of the workplace situations. But because of the combination of corporate experience and non-workplace experience, one of the things I realize is that people have feelings and relationships in and out of the workplace. And often, though, the interruptions in those relationships or struggles in those relationships can so definitely impact performance and morale.
And so the example that you brought back for when we learn to value or to deal with reviews goes back to school times, you know, there are times in high school and secondary school, you know, that really kind of transfers right into the workplace is what you're saying.
You bet.
Okay. What are some of the things that can be done to make these reviews more effective?
Well, you know, there are three areas that we can direct our focus. The first is to direct our focus at the appraisal system in general. Not only do we want to make sure that we're appraising the right things, but that we're doing it in such a way that the metrics we use are objective and known to all parties. There's certainly a growing debate on whether or not performance appraisals are even valid anymore and whether or not we should do away with them completely. Now, personally, I think that may be another talk show, but
yeah.
But I'll tell you, I am a proponent of replacing performance appraisal systems with performance appreciation systems. Can you imagine what it might feel like if on an annual or a semi-annual or even a quarterly basis, you had the pleasure of meeting with your supervision for them to tell you formally what they appreciated about your contributions, what they valued most in the efforts you have done, and how you've made the greatest difference in achieving corporate goals? Wouldn't that be neat? People wouldn't be running from these meetings. They'd be running towards them.
Wow.
So that would be the first area of focus, is to really take a look at the system itself and whether the appraisal itself is measuring truly the individual's performance, or whether or not that performance is somewhat the wrong thing to measure, and really if we should actually be measuring the system within which that employee is to perform.
Wow, that's one thing they do. What are some other things that they could do?
Well, a second thing is for managers to get the support they need to not only write useful and respectful appraisals, but also to be able to develop that comfort level with providing one-on-one feedback and coaching, if you will. This isn't limited to the workplace alone. My experience with people in and out of the workplace tells me that people are just generally uncomfortable giving honest and open feedback. It's hard for us to say, this is what feels good and this is what doesn't, or this is what is working for me and this is what isn't, or this is what I like and this is what I don't. We've kind of been brought up with this notion, if you don't have something good to say, say nothing. So we stick our heads in the sand and hope that the problem goes away. Or we're afraid that if we compliment someone too profusely, perhaps we'll create a monster and then we'll really be in trouble later if there should be a performance misstep in the future. So supporting our managers and helping them to develop that personal confidence and acumen in providing one-on-one honest feedback and objective feedback could really help the process along.
It seems like that kind of development and growth for managers could actually be a good recruiting tool. To say that we not only hire you and give you a place to work, but we also will grow you in certain ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so many of our managers rose to their particular positions through the school of hard knocks and not necessarily through a professional training program in management and supervisory techniques. And as we've seen in the last number of years, we've changed the focus from a manager-employee relationship to a more teaming type of an environment where leadership skills, more than management skills, are more and more important these days. And so in assisting managers, whether they were trained in traditional management techniques or whether they just sort of rose through the ranks, assisting them to provide leadership and become coaches and support systems and perhaps even partners in creating the success they're seeking from their employees could really help them leverage their own success.
So you mentioned, too, that not only can they use this in the workplace, but also they have a hard time delivering this type of honest, effective evaluation even outside the workplace.
You bet. You bet. The personal relationships, relationships with significant others and family members and friends often suffer greatly because the participants in those relationships just can't be honest and objective in receiving or sending feedback.
Hey, Debbie, you mentioned that there's a third thing. What could that be?
Well, you know, we've already talked about taking a good hard look at the performance appraisal system itself, mm-hmm. providing the necessary tools and support to management so that they can successfully deliver respectful and honorable performance reviews. Mm-hmm. The third component in this picture would be to focus on the employee and to help the employee gather the necessary resources and tools to be able to save face in a performance review, to be able to participate proactively in co-creating the review process, and to be able to use the information they gather in a feedback session or a performance review session to be able to leverage their professional success in the future.
Okay, so it just kind of dawned on me as you're saying that having a guide like this is actually a very useful third-person resource for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you imagine what it would feel like if, as you were preparing for the performance review process, if you called a staff meeting and gave your employees a copy of a survival guide that they could use so that they could get in get in on the ground floor, if you will, what they should be doing in anticipation of or before their performance appraisal, how they could participate during that appraisal, and what kind of follow-up and post-appraisal activities they could engage in to really turn this experience into one that's useful and positive for their own success.
Okay. It gave us some great tips about things that companies can do to make that evaluation process more effective. What can be another result from that?
Well, you know, when we're in the business world, we're looking at bottom line impact.
Ah.
And there is a dramatic financial impact to small business, large business, and municipal organizations, for that matter, all sorts of organizations. There is a huge financial impact if we should misstep in the review process. I have read many studies that would indicate that it costs on average $1,500 per employee for each performance review meeting. That would include all the preparation, the system that houses these review forms, the training of management, the time it takes to wordsmith and devise these appraisals. But in addition to that, I suppose we could probably add on the costs of post-appraisal grievances and the legal actions that could be stimulated by a disgruntled employee who receives a performance appraisal that just does not match their own self-evaluation. We could also add on the time that we lose when employees vent their frustrations about the process to their colleagues. Can you imagine if you have, on average, if your employees are paid $25 an hour, and an employee walks out of a performance review session feeling disgruntled, undervalued, judged, well, this employee is going to want to talk to their closest coworkers about it. Well, if this $25 an hour employee talks to five $25 an hour coworkers for just 1 hour each, which is not an unreasonable amount of time to spend venting.
No, not at all.
You've just spent at least $250 on this one employee's recovery, if you will, from a bad performance review, not to mention the lost productivity and the reverberations that result throughout the system of one employee moaning and groaning to another employee, moaning and groaning to another employee, and ultimately leading to moaning and groaning to an attorney. So we want to avoid these things at all costs, don't we?
I would think so. And plus, I'm taking from a management viewpoint, too. I know when I've had employee appraisals coming up and evaluations, their file sits in my in tray for a period of time. And I keep looking at that knowing that I need to get to that, but I procrastinate on it because I associate pain to it.
Absolutely. And there's another reason you're likely to procrastinate too. You might be the most stellar management example in your whole organization.
Why, thank you.
I would imagine you would be. As a matter of fact, you probably deliver feedback on an immediate basis every day and provide appropriate accolades and appreciation and coaching as the work day progresses, day in and day out and day in and day out. Let's say you're one of those managers who really focuses on the relationship and providing regular feedback as it should be provided. How does the performance appraisal add value to what you're already doing? It probably doesn't. It's just a paperwork kind of ritual that we've invented that we kind of do, and that interrupts, quite frankly, without giving you much benefit, the whole operation that you're focusing on.
Absolutely.
So even for the stellar manager who focuses on feedback, this doesn't add much value.
Well, I found that once I had an employee in my office and we started the actual process, that all of a sudden these barriers went up and it became so formalized and ritualized. And for me, I associated so much discomfort from how the employee might respond or react to what I was going to say or what we're going to do that, you know, I'd just as soon put it off, and that's what I faced.
Absolutely. In one of the tips that we include in our employee survival guide, we ask the employee whether or not it is better to give than to receive. And one of the things we focus on is sometimes it's not so easy to deliver a performance appraisal, and sometimes it's not so easy to receive one. And the fact of the matter is, it's an awful task for both the deliverer and the receiver.
Okay, so for those people that are more savvy than I was, what would the environment be like? The environment and the relationship within the company?
Well, we have an opportunity to create trust and an environment of respect. to create an environment where employees are motivated to take calculated risks and be creative. If they feel, if they know that their efforts will be appreciated, if they know that they're on the same page with their supervisor about what's expected and what their mission is, if you will, in the workplace, and how their contributions will make a difference to the organization, this can be an environment where we have enthusiastic employees and employees who really aren't cowering from the possibility of sticking their neck out and making a mistake. And managers have a great deal of power in creating that kind of a workplace.
Now, for me as a manager, what would that environment be like for me now when I go to sit down with an employee and I know that they're a little more savvy along these lines? You know, it sounds like that'd be a lot easier experience for me.
Absolutely. If you have the choice of either carrying the whole burden on your own shoulders or having your employees help carry the responsibility for creating a good working relationship, as well as co-creating a wonderful work environment to spend so many waking hours of their lives.
And from your experience as an HR generalist, what's it like for them?
Well, I'll tell you, often we get stuck in all the policies and the procedures and the documentation stuff, but it's no picnic having managers constantly looking to us with problems and issues and relationship dilemmas that are created by poorly executed systems or by neglected workplace relationships. So I think it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, for once, not to have to be the only parent in the sandbox.
Ooh, you're not kidding. We want these kids to grow up and be responsible for their own work performance, don't we?
So the person that's listening to this program, what are some things that they can walk away with that'll make their life a little bit easier, aside from the book?
Well, I think one of the things they can do is recognize that the process of delivering performance appraisals is a flawed system at best, mm-hmm. and that they are really, it's a tough system to participate in. So to understand that you're not alone, that this is a difficult process, and that the fact that you avoid this process or look with it with some sense of disdain, or that your employees are avoiding this process, actually underscores the fact that there is more humanity in you than maybe you realize. Because when we avoid what feels like abusive kinds of processes, then, you know, it says something terrific about the fact that we do care about the people we work with, and we want to create an environment that's respectful for them and for us.
Well, I understand that you can only share just one aspect of this because there's only so much time, and you spent so much time researching this. Where could someone go for some more information? Because we just don't know what we don't know.
Bob, there are so many resources available. The internet is full of articles and references about performance review, feedback, performance appraisal, that type of thing. So too are the libraries and bookstores, just overstuffed with books. The other thing they can do if they want to take advantage of all the research we've done is to just go to your website, martinseminars.net. We're linked there, as you well know. Thank you very much.
You're
and
welcome.
Certainly we can offer services, not only these survival guides for managers and for employees, but also consulting services and training workshops and anything else that a manager might need to be able to succeed at this.
If somebody would like to call you directly, is there a number where they can reach you and your company for some advice?
Absolutely. They can certainly call me, Debbie Newman, at Working Relationships, and the number there is 818-385-0550.
Can you give it one more time because I'm sure people are scrambling for pencils?
You bet. 818-385-0550.
Great. Well, that's our program for today. You've been listening to Debbie Newman from Working Relationships. Thanks for being here today, Debbie.
My pleasure.
Great. Hey, I'm Bob Martin, and you've been listening to the Martin Seminars Network.